The Epstein file dump reveals disturbing revelations. Donald Trump drops massive election fraud report, and Florida's Surgeon General has made a monumental move, calling to remove all mRNA COVID injections off the market. I'm Maria Z of ZMedia.com, and this is Vigilant Fox's Media Blackout. Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to our first broadcast for 2024, which, let me say, has already started off with a bang. We're very much looking forward to a power-packed year with you all, joining us for the real truth in the news, things the legacy media simply will not tell you. In our last broadcast, we covered the upcoming release of the Epstein documents, and already we've seen a trove of them released. We want to look at some of the information we currently know, and needless to say, this will be an ongoing story, we're sure. There has already been much speculation about what the implications are for some of these named individuals. Some, according to witness testimony, are accused of sexual crimes against minors, and others are named without specifying the nature of their potential crimes. The FBI still has video evidence that needs to be released, and the question the public should be asking is, why are any of these people still walking free? Bill Clinton was last spotted gallivanting around Mexico, according to eyewitness reports, we're told. Well, nonetheless, we do have some information that needs to be considered about important individuals, so let's take a look at what we know so far from the documents. Our number 10 story this week, Bill Clinton, Michael Jackson, and Stephen Hawking at an orgy. Here's what we know so far. Bill Clinton was mentioned in the documents stating, quote, he said one time that Clinton likes them young, referring to girls, end quote. Michael Jackson, one accuser was asked about, and they said, did you ever meet anybody famous when you were with Jeffrey? To which she replies, I met Michael Jackson at Jeffrey's house in Palm Beach. However, the accuser did say that she was not forced to perform massage on the pop star. Prince Andrew, according to accuser Johanna Sjoberg, Prince Andrew touched her breast while posing for a picture with a puppet of himself. Ghastly account there. Alan Dershowitz, who has vehemently denied all accusations but allegedly came pretty often to Epstein's Florida mansion and got massages while he was there, according to accuser Virginia Giuffre. And Stephen Hawking. Now, I mean, it's almost laughable and, again, ghastly, if I can use that word, that Stephen Hawking has been revealed here. According to Sjoberg's evidence, there is an email from Epstein to Maxwell in which he says she should issue a reward to any of Giuffre's associates who can disprove her allegations. Hawking was photographed on Epstein's Pedo Island in March 2006 as part of a trip to a nearby science conference, and a screenshot from the court documents is, I mean, horrendous. The question is asked, did Jeffrey ever talk to you about Stephen Hawking's proclivities? And the person responds, yes, he liked watching undressed midgets solve complex equations on a too high up chalkboard. Now, there have been some speculations as to what they mean here in these documents. Were they actually midgets or young children? We don't know for sure. Al Gore. Giuffre previously claimed that the former VP travelled on Epstein's carbon-spewing private plane. However, he has not been accused of any wrongdoing. Bill Richardson, the former and now deceased New Mexico governor, Giuffre says that he was among those whom Maxwell directed her to have sex with. George Lucas, Sjoberg was asked in May of 2016 if she'd ever met or given massages to several other high-profile celebrities, including George Lucas, which she did deny. David Copperfield, Sjoberg says she also met famed magician David Copperfield, saying that she observed him to be a friend of Epstein's. Naomi Campbell, who flew on Epstein's private jet, according to previously revealed logs from pilot David Rogers. In 2019, Campbell did admit that she knew Epstein, saying that she was introduced to him on her 31st birthday by her ex-boyfriend Flavio. an Italian businessman who's been convicted of fraud, and he was always front and center at Victoria's Secret shows. Kevin Spacey, who Johanna Sjöberg denied meeting, but traveled to Africa with Bill Clinton on Epstein's plane in 2002. Donald Trump, who notably did not receive a massage at Epstein or Maxwell's request. And we have another set of documents unsealed, minor victim traffic to prominent American politicians to obtain potential blackmail information. We see that according to the second tranche of documents obtained by the Gateway Pundit and reviewed by this reporter, one Epstein victim, a minor teen dubbed Jane Doe 3, said that she was trafficked to prominent American politicians to obtain potential blackmail information. Epstein also sexually trafficked the then minor Jane Doe, making her available for sex to politically connected and financially powerful people. Epstein's purpose in lending Jane Doe, along with other young girls, to such powerful people were to integrate himself with them for business, personal, political, and financial gain, as well as to obtain potential blackmail information. That's the document describing Jane Doe 3. Witness testimony detailing Prince Andrew's sexual abuse of a minor teen was revealed in the second set of unsealed documents reviewed by the Gateway Pundit. And another witness, a minor teen, described how she was forced to recruit high school girls for Epstein and his circle of powerful friends. Question, did you bring other girls to him? Answer, yes, I brought friends over. Question, and were they also of similar age to you? Answer, yes, they were my peers. Question, high school girls? Answer, correct. And then it goes on to question her about massage experience, and she says, no, they didn't have massage experience. And the question here, what he wanted at his house was young high school girls under the pretense of some massage. Is that fair? And the witness says, yes, that's fair. I mean, I have to think. Sometimes I would go over and I would just swim and I would get paid, or I would take a nap and I'd get paid, or I would just hang out and I'd get paid. So that should be in my statement as well. And we see a screenshot here posted by Technofog on X of the court documents where the question is asking this witness, and at the time you are 15, 16 or 17 years old. The witness answers yes. The question asks, you were told to bring other girls to his house. The witness says, after a while, yes. And the witness adds here that Jeffrey took my clothes off without my consent the first time that I met him. More on Bill Clinton and his threats to a publisher to protect Epstein and thus himself. Bill Clinton walked into Vanity Fair and threatened them not to write sex trafficking articles about his good friend, Jeffrey Epstein. And I think this is important here. Technofog says the Epstein method of operation is well known at this point, but it's important to see the words of his victims. One victim brought the other high school girls to Epstein, and Epstein wanted her, quote, emancipated, so that she could live with him. Now, Megyn Kelly has left the world on a bit of a cliffhanger with her recent comments that we may soon hear directly from Jeffrey Epstein. Let's take a look at that clip.
Fascinating, and we're not done with Jeffrey Epstein. I can tell you that for a fact. Can't tell you how I know, but I can tell you for a fact we're going to hear a lot more about Jeffrey Epstein in the coming year, and you may be even hearing from him directly. More on that as I'm allowed to tell you.
Now, obviously, we don't know exactly what she's saying at the moment. Time will tell. However, we must say that soon after Jeffrey's alleged death, there were some super sleuths on the internet comparing an apparent leaked image of Jeffrey Epstein's corpse to which a side profile of an image of his head was compared. And if that was actually him, it appears he had a nose and ear job sometime before or after his death. But I digress. In light of Megyn Kelly's current claims that we will hear from him, that may indicate that he never died in the first place, or perhaps he had some sort of dead man switch with a recording or something of this nature which will be released. Clearly, Megyn Kelly knows something we don't, so we look forward to hearing more on that. But one thing is certain. Child sex trafficking and abuse has been used for blackmail over the years by multiple governments and powerful leaders. Epstein Island is not the only pedophile island in existence, and we will look at another ring later on in the next segment. But it is important to note that we are only scratching the surface of the atrocities that some of these individuals have committed. So far, what has been released to the public really isn't even the half of it. Over the years, there have been multiple testimonies of victims of satanic ritual abuse, including violent sexual abuse. I've personally interviewed the son of a very powerful, wealthy family who testified as to what he endured as a child. Many of these self-proclaimed elites engage in this behavior whilst conducting themselves in public as upstanding citizens, attending church, living double lives, and, as I mentioned earlier, the FBI is holding on to far more evidence than what is being shown to us here, and I dare say they know more damning facts than we do, so a few questions still remain here. Why has the FBI not acted on this evidence? How many more high-profile people have been involved in crimes of this nature? Who is still too afraid to speak? What dirt do these blackmail rings have on them? What other blackmail rings exist? How far does this go? Which organization heads are compromised? We delved into Bill Gates and the clear influence Epstein had on the United Nations in the last broadcast. Will we see them implicated at any point? Or is this lot of documents all we'll be allowed to know about in an effort to appease the masses? See, we told you about Stephen Hawking being creepy and Clinton, well, you all knew he was an immoral individual anyway. This rabbit hole goes much deeper than they're currently telling us, and we want it all. Here's to a continued demand for all of the evidence, and we will be keeping an eye out for it. More on another sex trafficking blackmail ring discovered shortly, but first a message from our sponsor, The Wellness Company. Everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where The Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even to a bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to help keep you and your family safe. Go to twc.health/blackout today and order. That's twc.health/blackout and use the promo code blackout to save 10%. Our next story, Trump has released a 2020 election fraud report for Georgia, Wisconsin, Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. His Truth Social post is linked in the article, but we'll go to Truth Social itself. He says, page one, summary of election fraud in the 2020 presidential election in the swing states. I am pleased to share a report that is fully verified. Most of the information was gotten from government sources, tapes, and other public records and compiled by the most highly qualified election experts in the country. These numbers are determinative and, in all cases, are hundreds of thousands of votes per swing state more than I needed to win that state. If the Republican Senate does not step forward and address this atrocity, it will happen again and be virtually impossible for Republicans to win elections in the future. A second Truth Social post is linked there, and he says, remember, I was not campaigning. The 2020 election was long over. What I was doing is bringing to light the fact that the election was, without question, rigged and stolen. As president and commander-in-chief, it was my duty to do so. If I did not do this, I would have been in violation of my oath of office and the Take Care Clause, which requires the president to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. Therefore, I'm entitled to total immunity because that is exactly what I was doing, taking care of our country. If you scroll down the article, you can actually read the full report here. And it's worth noting that he says in the introduction of the documents, it has often been repeated there is no evidence of fraud in the 2020 election. In actuality, there is no evidence Joe Biden won. How much more evidence do we need before someone takes action? In all seriousness, every single Republican running candidate should be screaming from the rooftops about this report. It proves their potential presidency can be compromised by yet another stolen election. If I was running a race that I knew from the outset would be rigged, I would be seeking recourse before I wasted my time. But to date, none of the current running candidates have spoken up that we're aware of. They're still running their campaigns and collecting donor funds as though the election race this year is somehow safer than the last one that was stolen. It's a joke. That goes for Democratic candidates too, by the way, because if they can steal it from an individual they hate, regardless of the party, they can steal it from them too. And any current serving members of government, Republican or Democrat for that matter, should be running into Congress with this report and demanding answers and demanding that the actual president be the one in the White House. How that is to occur could be left to Trump's discretion, really, considering it proves the party in power is there under extremely questionable circumstances. We'll be waiting to see what some of the honest representatives do with this information. And speaking of some of the greatest scams known to man, climate change is a topic that has come under much scrutiny despite the legacy media and politicians acting like the science is settled on the matter. Anyone who understands even the word science would understand the science is never settled. Just a few short years ago, we had an ice age warning. Then the science switched to global warming because it wasn't actually all that icy. And then we switched to the ambiguous term climate change because that is the term those who seek to control the populations through a social credit score thought was most apt to weaponize what was always known as the weather. Something that has been changing for thousands of years. We were told by Greta Thunberg in 2018 that a top scientist was warning climate change would wipe out all of humanity unless we stop using fossil fuels over the next 5 years. That tweet was, of course, later deleted because 2023 came and, what do you know, the only wiping out of humans that was done was by the COVID death injection and not by the weather, although they are trying to blame the thousands of people suddenly dropping dead after their COVID injection on the sun, exercise, sleeping too much, not sleeping enough, drinking too much water and on breathing. Seems like anything you do today will give you myocarditis, well, because climate change. And whilst many of us have been speaking for some time about the climate scam, it is refreshing to see some in the public eye speaking about this with conviction. Cue in presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy, who is absolutely right about climate change. Our next article, Why Vivek Ramaswamy is Right About Climate Change and the Agenda Being More a Tool of Total Control Than a Genuine Effort to Combat Environmental Issues, is particularly useful for people who may still be on the fence about the issue. It points out the hypocrisy of the matter, but we'll get into that in a moment. It says, in the ever-evolving discourse on climate change, skepticism often finds little room. Yet, in a world where narratives shape policies and futures, it's imperative to examine these narratives critically. Vivek Ramaswamy, a prominent figure in this debate, posits a thought-provoking perspective. The current climate change agenda, as it stands, is more a tool of total control than a genuine effort to combat environmental issues. And he's right. Because the main proponents of, say, environmental waste or pollution, such as China, well, no one's really doing anything about those nations and their pollution of the nations and their contributions to CO2. They're allowed to continue doing it, but you, the consumer, oh, no, no, no. You must stop eating meat. You must eat crickets. You must have a social credit score that tracks your carbon emissions. Big banks are already doing it. They're letting you know how much carbon your transactions are costing the world, or attributing to the world, if you will. And we've already had people from the IMF and at the climate summits talking about how they're going to be tracking people's carbon emissions through their digital currency. So they're very much setting up this total control system. And of course, the climate narrative and the existential threat to the world by climate change, aka the weather, is the perfect threat to use to track people in every aspect of their lives. The article goes into some of the examples that we just gave regarding the ice age and global warming and the ever-changing narrative around the weather. But it also points out some hypocrisy from these climate activists, like Leonardo DiCaprio, for example, who is an outspoken advocate for environmental issues, but has faced criticism for his use of private jets and yachts, modes of transportation with quote-unquote high carbon footprints. You also have Al Gore traveling in his private aircraft, Former US Vice President and environmental activist known for his work on climate change awareness has been critiqued for his substantial energy consumption. Reports have highlighted the high electricity usage of his mansion in Tennessee, which contrasts with his call for energy conservation. And of course, John Kerry, Joe Biden's climate czar, with his he's a prominent figure in climate change diplomacy, but he's been criticized for his use of private jets. This was particularly highlighted when he took a private jet to accept an environmental award in Iceland, raising questions about the carbon footprint associated with such travel. But of course, John Kerry tells us, oh, well, I'm just too important. He's actually said these words. I'm too important. The work I do is too important. And that's why I need to keep flying around on my private jet. While you, peasant, you get to have less showers. It's unbelievable. And we have Michelle and Barack Obama. Despite expressing concerns about climate change and rising sea levels, the Obamas purchased a substantial property on Martha's Vineyard, an area potentially vulnerable to sea level rise. And of course, we have the climate alarmist saying the sea level's going to rise and drown us all. But it's fine to buy a seafront property, I guess, when you're aware of these existential threats to humanity. This move has been pointed out as potentially contradictory to the climate risks they've articulated. And of course, I can't go without mentioning our Prime Minister here in Australia, who spent more time flying around on private jets than he has on his home soil, fixing the country, which is facing a multitude of issues like cost of living, inflation, all of the things that pretty much every country in the world is facing right now due to the ongoing manufactured crisis post-COVID-19. But the article brings up a very, very important point, which is that this leads to a broader, more unsettling implication, as in the hypocrisy of these climate alarmists, to which our Prime Minister is one. Is the climate change agenda being wielded as a tool for broader societal and economic control? Policies and initiatives born from this agenda often have far-reaching impacts affecting everything from energy consumption to housing and transportation. While the intent may be to promote sustainability, I would argue it absolutely is not, there's an underlying narrative that merits scrutiny. Are these policies truly about saving the planet or about controlling economic and social behaviours? And then it goes on to talk about this statistic that apparently over 90% of scientists agree on human-caused climate change, but it's actually crucial to go beyond the surface and understand the complexities behind this number. It's actually not what they present it as. And I want to mention here specifically on the control methods. We've spoken on previous broadcasts about the ARUP report that says because of climate change, humans need to eat 0 kilograms of meat per year. Councils will be incentivized to make sure that this happens. This is evidenced by the Global Covenant of Mayors report that we did quite some time ago on another broadcast, Uncensored. They want humans having 0 liters of dairy per year. They want 0 private vehicle ownership. They want 1,500 kilometers of travel per person every 3 years. This is, no one's explained how they arrived at this formula. How is this actually going to save the planet? And if every single person needs to limit their travel so much because of this existential threat of climate change, why are all of these leaders still flying around on their private jets? Why do they go to Davos in a myriad of private jets and eat meat if this is so bad for the planet? We could talk about this topic and all of the holes in their story for days, but I want to direct viewers to this website. It's clintel.org, and it's a world climate declaration by over 1,800 scientists that said there is no climate emergency. Everyone can view that PDF and share it. And I think it's very, very important in light of the fact that all of these climate advocates are not acting in a way that is consistent with there actually being a climate emergency. And when we have 1,800 scientists coming together saying, no, there isn't, the question really does need to be asked, why are they pushing it so hard? And I think Vivek's on the money here. As we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, another massive sex ring has been discovered in DC and Boston. And the Daily Mail says it was a honeypot scheme by foreign nations to blackmail US officials. The article here goes on to say, that the six brothels that comprised the sex ring were headed by a 41-year-old South Korean woman who allegedly targeted politicians, high-ranking government officials, and defense contractors. And it says from the Daily Mail, Han Lee, the alleged mastermind, Jun Myung Lee, and James Lee, all South Korean-born U.S. nationals, were charged in November with running the sex ring. The three Lees are apparently not related. Han and Jun Myung both live in the Boston area, so the locations of the four brothels there made sense. James lives in Torrance, a suburb of Los Angeles. Members of Congress, military officers, and national security contractors who possessed security clearances were among the steady customers at the high-end brothels run by the Ring, prosecutors say. The Ring's clients, who paid rates of up to $600 an hour, included corporate executives, professors, lawyers, and scientists. To entice customers, the Lees allegedly set up websites whose purported purpose was helping photographers find nude female models looking for work. And investigators say that they made more than $1 million by the time they were busted. The girls start by asking for a small favor that's at the edge of the target's comfort zone and try to keep expanding the zone and turn small favors into big favors, the CIA ex-officer said. As we said, the DOJ first launched an investigation into the massive sex ring in November, and according to a federal affidavit written by a DHS special agent, some of the clients of the prostitution ring included politicians, pharmaceutical executives, doctors, military officers, government contractors with security clearances, professors, lawyers, the list goes on and on. And two of the brothels operated from units in luxury apartment buildings in the Virginia suburbs outside the Capitol, which are each about a 15-minute drive from the White House, Congress, Pentagon, and CIA. And you can see the DC, Virginia area brothel locations there, as well as the Boston area brothel locations there. A former foreign spy said the purpose of the blackmail operation is to collect government secrets. Now, with this expose, we again have an example of a lot of these people in positions of power who are prone to be tempted with some of the most degenerate practices that are normally looked down upon in society and reserved for the lowest of the low in community behavior. Sex rings, drugs, prostitution, sexual abuse of minors, and the list of disgusting behavior goes on. But what is probably the most embarrassing about this story is that these people, issued with roles of public trust and likely very respected in the public sphere, are so easily tempted by a sex trap, and a sex trap they have to pay for on top of it, in many cases, probably with your taxpayer dollars. With this story and with Epstein, we have seen that there seems to be a circular operation between many high-ranking government officials in all sectors linked with international intel agencies providing services to these people in a huge blackmail scheme, notably the CIA and even more so Mossad, in current times being linked in numerous occasions to the current Epstein debacle, some even stating that Epstein, Ghislaine, and that whole operation was entirely run by Mossad. The conclusion we can draw from this is that governments and public officials around the world simply cannot be trusted, and their ties to foreign interests often have more to do with blackmail than they do with upstanding foreign relations. Who knows what they're actually up to when they're flying in their private jets to meet at the UN to sign a new climate accord? At this point, with all of these revelations coming to light, these are questions everyone should be demanding answers to. Now, a quick word from one of our partners. If the COVID pandemic taught us anything, it's that you have to take control of your own family's health. You can't rely on the government or Big Pharma. That's why many of you count on Z-Stack. But did you know there is a specially formulated version of Z-Stack made for people who took the vaccine? It's called Z-Detox. Z-Detox contains vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, NAC, and ECGC. Dr. Zelenko's Z-Detox formula was especially created for individuals with weakened immune systems, especially those weakened by the COVID-19 vaccines and boosters. As most of you know, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko was the world-renowned doctor that President Trump credited with his successful early treatment protocol and his decision to take hydroxychloroquine. If you were forced to take the vaccine, if you have friends or family members who took the vaccine, order Z-Detox today and help your immune system fight back. Supercharge your immune system. Go to zstacklife.com/blackout and order today and use the promo code blackout to save an additional 15%. Number six in this week's top articles, a bill has been introduced in the House calling for US to drop charges against Julian Assange. Assange has been held in London's Belmarsh prison since 2019, and he has a hearing scheduled at the UK High Court on February 20th and 21st to appeal his extradition to the US, which is likely his final chance at freedom. A resolution introduced in the House last month calls for the US to drop the charges against Assange, who faces up to 175 years in prison if extradited to the US and convicted for journalism that exposes US war crimes. The bill was introduced by Rep. Paul Gosar and expresses the sense of the House of Representatives that regular journalistic activities, including the obtainment and publication of information, are protected under the First Amendment, and that the federal government should drop all charges and attempts to extradite Julian Assange. He's been held in the prison since 2019 and has the hearing scheduled this next month, as we said, which is likely his final chance. There is a link here to find your representative if you're in the US, or call the House switchboard at this number and tell them to support H Resolution 934 to protect the First Amendment and press freedom. The case of Assange is extremely pertinent to every single person in the world. Julian Assange was the test case for every single one of us. We have tech companies running rampant, censoring truth while amplifying propaganda and getting away with it. We have government officials inside pedophile rings committing pedophilia and currently still walking free. We have foreign influence from intelligence operations blackmailing government officials to achieve various globalist agendas. The World Economic Forum openly admitting they have penetrated cabinets worldwide, meaning every country's government is compromised by a globalist body that seeks to destroy human life through carbon passports, never-ending injections, and a social credit system. So what has Julian Assange or WikiLeaks done differently than anyone else today? Either running a social media platform or participating in a social media platform, especially these days with the new refreshed approach on X through Musk and what for the most part seems to be freedom of speech. The main difference that we can tell is that the government and shadow government is not able to propagandize what Julian Assange brought to the public conversation. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the last release by WikiLeaks and its founder Julian Assange was not questioned by the government as to its validity. It was that the public was not allowed to know and Julian Assange was not allowed to tell you. At the end of the day, the government cannot be held accountable for war crimes, for pedophilia via Jeffrey Epstein, for killing masses of people via a death injection. Then it was Julian Assange. Today, it is a weaponization by the government against any of us that expose anything that they do. As long as Julian Assange remains behind bars, none of us is safe. In the future, I'm sure it'll come to light what a true hero Julian Assange actually is, as many of us already know he is. And it starts with everyone's support of this bill. Our next story this week is making national headlines. On the 1st of January 2024, 231 current and former service members from various branches of the United States Armed Forces came together to sign the Declaration of Military Accountability. This document was spearheaded by Commander Robert A. Greene Jr. of the U.S. Navy, marks a significant moment in military history, calling for sweeping reforms and accountability within the armed forces. He said the letter is not addressed to the military leaders, but rather to the American people. The email was merely to inform these military leaders that there is a group of troops and vets pledging to the American public that we will do everything lawfully within our power to stop the willful destruction of our military by its own leadership. Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers is a former Green Beret and Special Flight Surgeon who gave a real informed consent briefing to 3,000 soldiers on the COVID injections. Following that briefing, over 2,990 of those soldiers did not go ahead with the shots, and Lieutenant Colonel Chambers was subsequently relieved of his duties after that briefing. He is one of the signatories of the declaration, and he joins us now. Lieutenant Colonel Chambers is out there protecting the Texas border at the moment, but he's joined us for this important interview. Lieutenant Colonel Chambers, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here, Maria.
Well, you are one of the signatories. It's good to see you also. You are one of the signatories on this military declaration. Talk to us about this. What are the motivations behind it, and what are these service members trying to tell the American people?
Right. This is a call to action, basically, for the American people to come to the aid with all dispatch to the United States military and those of us that have served already. We have tried everything we can constitutionally. We've tried everything through, I was a whistleblower. We've done it that way. We've gone through our chains of command. We've written books. We've been on media. We understand the military needs to understand that the mandate was illegal. The mandate itself, the order, was illegal. Therefore, it requires by military law, by Uniform Code of Military Justice, to disobey an unlawful order. Now, all orders are considered lawful, but in this case, because it was illegal, the issuing of the mandate, it has to be disobeyed. Now, we had the mandate. It was lifted last year under the last National Defense Authorization Act, of which those of us that were out were lobbying our legislators on the Hill. The problem is that we lost 8,000 soldiers that we know about that were booted out because of it. We lost because of attrition, because they didn't re-up, they didn't come back in, tremendous amounts of soldiers. Then we had the recruiting problem, which we're at about the 1973 level, which would be post-Vietnam era. So all those things combined put us in a very precarious position regarding national security. Now, understand that as a partner nation to the Five Eye countries, to include your country, that those of us understand that we come to each other's aid in times of need. So it makes it really difficult for us to do that if we end up in a war on two fronts. That was always in our national defense strategy. So all of these things combined are a recipe for disaster.
And so what are you asking from the American people and the people of the world? Right. What is the ultimate call to action here?
I have three things I'd like to share. This is a declaration that is focused entirely on constitutional and the Constitution and law. Number one, it's entirely apolitical and it's nonpartisan. We're not dealing with parties. We're talking about America. We're talking for us right now. This is a declaration. It's a call to action. Number two. And so we want people to go to our website to sign the petition, because we the people then will have, because they have the authority already vested in them through the Constitution to stand up and sign along with us. They can't get on the original declaration. This is a historical document at this time. And then number three, they have to understand that Rob Green, who penned this, so he would be, you know, kind of our Thomas Jefferson in this case. And let me tell you, Brad Miller, another one. He's our spokesman. Brad came out, the guy with the beard and the hair, former battalion commander, 101st Airborne, 19 and a half years, lost his command over this, resigned his commission in an act of solidarity with the soldiers that have been damaged or have died on this vaccine to do the right thing. Because a leader is responsible for everything that happens or fails to happen. And that's how I grew up in the military, 1983 to 2022. And had a break in service and there came back after 9/11. We understand what right looks like. We understand what military looks like. We understand what leadership looked like. We can't focus on woke agendas. We can't focus on these agendas that don't have anything to do with war fighting and the security of the world, really, in this case. We're talking about the focus has been shifted to things that don't matter to really what the military is supposed to do. We were used as a test bed for an experimental vaccine. We were not allowed to do informed consents. That's how I lost my job. And so what we want to do is we want to bring accountability. That's the end state, is the accountability piece. Because if people did commit crimes knowingly, then it needs to be investigated. We're saying allegedly, I'm saying that we have to investigate this, because we can't allow those people to do this. We're serious men, women that are doing a serious job when we're downrange doing that. And this is just as serious. My first patient was a 27-year-old male who had a heart attack, right? Myocarditis, pericarditis, not necessarily a myocardial infarction, but enough to where he had to be relieved. He went through a medical board. He's out of the military. I had the largest deployment of troops on the U.S. border since the Spanish-American War. I was the task force surgeon for that operation. Still going on today, just south of us. So there's enough there for me to give you information and testify, and I have in court cases, the SEALs versus Lloyd Austin and a standby for Roberts v. Austin. So these things are serious. And that's why we are to put our names on the line, people that are still in uniform, to put their names on the line, to do things legally and morally and ethically, not a revolution. We don't want to get there. It's not what we're thinking about. We're thinking about bringing people to accountability. That's the end state.
Well, I think it's wonderful. People have been asking for, the military to stand up and really speak out about this. And we're definitely seeing that through this declaration. What is the website that you want people to visit, Dr. Chambers?
Well, there's several different websites, and really, militaryaccountability.com, that's the main one. All right, that's the place where they can go and do the petition. They've been posted on my Twitter, Doc P. Chambers, Twitter at Doc P. Chambers. It's also on my Telegram channel, which is also Pete Chambers, Lieutenant Colonel retired. But you just Google that, it'll come up. It's me. I'm the guy with the cowboy hat. You'll see it on there. And then also at drpeachchambers.com. So multiple places that you can find it out there. And that's where we need people to sign that petition.
Wonderful. Well, Lieutenant Colonel Chambers, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for your service, and thank you for everything that you continue to do for not only the American people, but the people of the world. We appreciate you.
Sorry it took me so long to get back to you, but we got it.
Scientists have studied the Swampy Cree Native American tribe for years, wondering how they maintain such exceptional health. In addition to a diet of simple, natural, and raw foods, the Cree's ancient practice of consuming bison organs is credited with their exceptional health. Their bison organs are one of the most nutrient-rich, bioavailable, and sustainable sources of vital nutrients known to man. These bison organs are Mother Nature's miracle, providing nutritional and hormonal support like no other food source on Earth, and now they are available to us from the great company Naked Organs. Bison Trifecta, the company's best-selling product, supports heart health, cognitive function, athletic performance, nurtures liver health, provides immune support, and combats inflammation. Go to holisticgoddess.com/blackout and order today. Use promo code blackout to save an additional 10%. Well, Tucker Carlson has been dropping bomb after bomb lately, and his latest accusation against Nikki Haley is that she's actually a Trojan horse for the Democratic Party. Take a listen to this.
If you're a Democratic mega donor, this is a very tough moment for you. Your candidate is going to lose. All the polls show that. Joe Biden will not be elected president if current trends continue. So you need to make a change. But there's a problem. And that problem is Joe Biden's running mate. She's half Jamaican. Therefore, she's holy. You can't criticize her, much less demote her. That's not allowed. You are stuck with Kamala Harris. And she is even more unpopular than Joe Biden. So what do? Well, if you're smart, maybe you subvert the other party. Maybe you back a Republican candidate who's actually a Democrat, whose priorities are identical to yours. And of course, they found one. Her name is Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley is a liberal. She is all in on the four tenets of neoliberalism, which are white guilt, a finance-based economy, mass immigration, and endless neocon wars. Strip away all the outward characteristics, and Nikki Haley is identical in her priorities to Joe Biden and the people who back Joe Biden.
Tucker's not wrong. The woman is insane. Clearly is not fit to run any country, extremely pro-war, wants everyone to identify themselves in order to use social media like her social credit system, pushing friends at the UN and the World Economic Forum, and is clearly a puppet for the one world government. All the traits of the Democratic Party, by the way. Tucker may be onto something. Our number three story this week, consumers are rejecting the Great Reset, whether it's the COVID-19 injections, eating bugs, driving EVs, munching fake meat, or living in the metaverse with censorship, none of it is working. The author goes on to tell a funny story about one of his friends who rented a Tesla over the holidays, which is undoubtedly the industry standard for EVs, and a complete blast to drive, he adds. But the problem is, it's not practical at all. He was driving in the cold, and the car was nearly drained after about 2 hours. Searching for a charge was no easy task. The first one didn't work. The second one stated that it would be charged in 10 hours, which he didn't have, and most people don't have a spare 10 hours up their sleeves when they're on their way to something. And the third one charged in 1 hour, but that was a full hour wasted. His conclusion was that this is indeed a glorified golf cart designed to keep you at home and under the thumb of the manufacturer. I would add under the thumb of the globalists that seek to limit your travel. And he talks about the repairs are even worse, and again, that this is the best that the industry has to offer. He says that the EV craze has peaked already. Growth in cars, gas cars, is now far higher than electrics, flipping a trend from 12 months ago. Finally, consumers are figuring it out. It's a good second car if you're driving around in your own town, but it's not really a suitable primary vehicle. You really need gas for that. The idea that this car is going to transition the United States or any country to quote-unquote clean energy is absurd. If every car were electric, the grid would crash and rationing would be the norm. And let me just say, rationing is the norm as far as they're concerned. If we look at the example of South Africa, where the state took control of the energy and now they have 10-hour rolling blackouts that are planned, by the way. They don't say they're planned, but people get a text message saying you're about to experience a blackout. I mean, the way these people live is unbelievable. I had a South African resident on with me some time ago talking about this, germ warfare. And they plan this for every single country. And of course, it starts by shutting off some of the coal power plants. Here in Australia, we had a huge coal power plant in one of our states, New South Wales, shut. And immediately they had to borrow energy from the other coal power plants that are still in operation to power the homes in that area. I mean, it's simply not possible. And so this push for electric vehicles is absurd, and it's not the only trend that's failing. We also have the topic of fake meat. Remember how it was going to replace real meat? Well, take a look at the grocery stores today. This is another product that has peaked. The stock for Beyond Meat was $1.96 in 2019, and it has continued to fall. And today it's a bargain at $8.72 with no one being particularly interested. It looks like this one isn't long for this world either, which makes you wonder why muckety mucks are still pushing this nonsense on us. And the same goes for the COVID injections, for which your tax dollars paid, by the way. The Pfizer stock is down to $28 from $59 in 2 years. Moderna has fallen to $100 from $384 in the same time frame. An absolute disaster for the big pharma giants and an absolute win for anyone who plans to live a normal life free of myocarditis. And this obviously comes as no surprise to anybody. As the article states, in capitalist countries, the consumers determine what is successful or popular. As much as governments try to push things onto people, the buyers determine what will sell. You can sell us the so-called benefits of electric vehicles all day long, but the free market can see through the sales pitch and determine what is best for them, as well as the environment. Electric cars are expensive to make, the batteries are too expensive to replace, the so-called carbon footprint to manufacture just one electric vehicle will not pay itself off through the life of that vehicle, which is not very long, and worse still, they just don't go very far. The depleted batteries from these vehicles are extraordinarily toxic to the environment, and disposal of them is very problematic. So a true environmentalist would actually be extremely opposed to these vehicles en masse. As with all things, the people will decide as long as they have all of the information. People don't want fake meat, they don't want to eat bugs, they don't want to shower only once a week and buy 3 socks per year. They want to be free to earn and live their life however they like within the confines of the law. In conclusion, people are rejecting the Great Reset. Our number two article this week, breaking news, Ohio governor reverses decision and outlaws sexual mutilation of children. Let's hear what Ivory Hecker has to say on this.
Breaking news, after immense backlash from his voters, the Ohio governor has reversed his decision on a bill he had just vetoed. It was just a week ago that the governor of Ohio vetoed legislation that seemed to every normal, well-adjusted person like common sense. The bill that Governor DeWine vetoed would have protected children, and I cannot stress enough that we're talking about children, would have protected them from being chemically castrated or having their genitals mutilated. Well, When Governor DeWine made the wildly unpopular decision to refuse to sign that legislation into law, reasonable people across the country reacted how you would expect, furiously and questioning what possible motivation a supposedly conservative governor would have to prevent it from passing and protecting kids. Just this week, in response to the governor, the Republican Speaker of Ohio, Representative Jason Stevens, he said that they would be reconvening on January 10th to override the governor's veto, since Republicans have a supermajority in Ohio. Governor DeWine today clearly saw the writing on the wall in an act of pure self-preservation. He issued an executive order outlawing the chemical castration and sexual mutilation of children. It's unsure how much this will affect Governor DeWine in the long term, but I think it's unlikely that voters, especially parents, will forget anytime soon that he was unwilling to sign legislation when he had a chance to protect children from what many believe should be illegal on a federal level.
Well, once again, the people have spoken. Just like in our previous segment, these insane practices and proposals by the anti-humanists like child mutilation cannot continue in a society full of people who still have common sense. And speaking of common sense, our top story this week is up next. Florida's Surgeon General has called for a complete halt of the COVID mRNA injections. Huge news coming right up, but first a word from one of our sponsors. In our fast-paced lives, finding enough time for self-care and exercise can be a real struggle. And even the best diets and exercise routines sometimes need a little extra support, especially as our metabolism changes with age. That's where MetaRadiance by Holistic Goddess steps in. Combining simple yet powerful spices, MetaRadiance boosts your metabolism with cinnamon, provides sustained energy with garlic, aids in calorie burning with cayenne pepper, and promotes smoother digestion with cardamom. Enhanced with black pepper for better absorption, MetaRadiance supports a naturally youthful metabolism without the jitters. Choose MetaRadiance for an energized start to your day and naturally support your body's metabolism. Visit holisticgoddess.com/metablackout today and use code blackout for 15% off. Embrace the natural path with wellness with MetaRadiance. Our top story this week, the number one headline, is a huge one. The Florida Surgeon General has called for a complete halt of COVID-19 injections. He says they are not safe. The Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine injected into billions of arms was not the same one used in Pfizer's clinical trials. There was a bait and switch. The public received vials contaminated with plasmid DNA. A new study published by Kevin McKernan and colleagues found the presence of billions to hundreds of billions of DNA molecules per dose in these vaccines. Using fluorometry, all vaccines exceed the guidelines for residual DNA set by both the FDA and the WHO. Following the publishing of that study, Dr. Ladapo has now called for a complete halt of the COVID mRNA injections, and we have one of the authors of that study with us today, Dr. David Wiseman. He is a recognized expert in the science and business of preventing surgical adhesions. Wiseman is also the founder and president of Syncheon Inc. He's also an ex-J&J scientist and drug developer and an expert on mRNA spike proteins. He joins us now. Dr. David Wiseman, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. Good evening.
Well, we have a lot to discuss today. The Florida Surgeon General has called for a complete halt to the COVID-19 mRNA injections. You've been focusing on this. You've written papers on the DNA discoveries that have come out. And so we're very, very interested to speak with you. You've got a history working with J&J. So tell us, what is your understanding of the Florida Surgeon General's decision?
Okay, so Dr. Joe Ladapo, who is the Surgeon General of the state of Florida, issued a press release a couple of days ago, and I think a Twitter, you might have that, where he essentially calls for a halt for the mRNA vaccines. This was as a result of a letter that he had written on December the 6th to the head of the biologics section of the FDA, Dr. Peter Marks, as well as CDC, other people. He received, he was noting his concern about issues to do with DNA mainly and other issues in his letter. He did receive a letter back about, I think, the 14th of December. And the letter was, I think, two or three pages. And obviously, from if you can, you know, show his recent response, Dr. Ladapo's recent response, the response he got from the FDA was inadequate for a number of reasons, which we can go into. But the response was so inadequate that it was obvious from the way he's written that announcement is that he felt that it's appropriate to call for a halt for these vaccines until you know, various questions in that he raised and probably other questions have been resolved. So that's Dr. Ladapo's position.
If I can interject here, Dr. Wiseman, because I know that this is something you can really speak to. He speaks specifically about the failure to test for DNA integration with the human genome, as their own guidelines indicate, when the vaccines are known to be contaminated with foreign DNA is intolerable. Can you talk to us about this contamination, please?
Sure. Well, first of all, I actually don't use the word contamination. There's some technical, you know, meanings to all those words. So, just to make sure everyone understands, first of all, it is not surprising that these vaccines do contain some DNA. That is not a surprise based on the way the manufacturing process works. And so this is called residual DNA, okay, as opposed to contamination, which means it's some completely spurious substance, you know, like, you know, someone ate a peanut butter sandwich in the factory and it fell into the, you know, reaction vessel. That's contamination. This is a process-related impurity. And that's not surprising that it's there. But what is surprising and what is concerning are a number of things. First of all, the levels that at least studies that I've been involved in and others have shown that they approach the guideline limits that the FDA and other regulatory agencies have set. If you measure it in one way, if you measure it in another way, that they're way above the guideline limits. Second of all, when those guidelines were written many years ago, they did not contemplate these things called lipid nanoparticles, these fat bubbles that are used to package the RNA and to get the RNA into the cells. And so those get things into cells much more efficiently than naked DNA, just DNA sort of on its own, by factors of dozens or hundreds, perhaps, times more than the naked DNA. So the limits that were set don't take that into account. So that's one important factor. The second important factor is that there are sequences of residual DNA that don't appear to have been disclosed to the regulatory agencies. And we know that from responses that I and others have obtained from the EMA and Health Canada, where the Pfizer, this is in the case of the Pfizer now, not Moderna. So the Pfizer has something called a SV40 promoter enhancer sequence, which was part of the DNA process that is used to make the RNA. It's a bit technical. I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. And those sequences should have been disclosed. That's in the guidelines. That's very clear that the company has to disclose them and they have to point them out. It's not just here's the complete works of Shakespeare and go and look for, you know, a particular sentence that Shakespeare might have said. They have to point out the particular sequence, and they did not do so, and that's written information that we have from EMA and the Health Canada. So that's not, you know, up for grabs to be discussed. Why wasn't it disclosed? And why is that concerning? And it's concerning because A, it wasn't disclosed. That's the huge problem on its own. That points to a regulatory and a developmental failure of the vaccine, number one. Number two, that particular sequence, which has been found in its entirety, meaning not just as fragments, but it's an intact sequence of about 300 gene letters long, which is not very long, okay? We don't fully understand what it can do, but we know a couple of things what it can do. In the published medical peer-reviewed literature, there are reports of it doing two main things that we're aware of. First of all, it can help get DNA into the nucleus. So the nucleus is the part of the cell, the middle of the cell where our archived genes are held, okay? They're protected in a vault, as it were, okay? And this SV40 sequence can help DNA that might be attached to it get into the nucleus, okay? Although it doesn't necessarily need that vault, but it's there, okay? So it can help get things into the nucleus much more efficiently. That's the first thing. The second thing in the published, and that's papers by Dr. David Dean, Dr. David Dean at the University of Rochester in state of New York. And the second thing is that by the work of Drayman, Drayman, I believe, shows that this particular sequence can bind to a particular type of protein called a P53 protein, a very, very well-known protein that's in our bodies that is essentially an anti-tumor protein. We have our own anti-tumor drugs in us, as it were, and one of them is this P53 protein. So the concern is that if this SV40 sequence binds this P53 protein, it basically potentially, we don't know, but potentially puts it out of action. And that obviously has a potentially huge consequences.
Could this be the reason why these, if you want to call them this, turbo cancers are exploding? We're seeing a lot of people reporting either a return of cancer or a very, very quick death following their diagnosis, Dr. Wiseman.
Right, right. So yeah, certainly there's a lot of reports like that. But I want to point to one particular, which I think is really, really important to highlight, because even though there are many reports like that, and I've certainly heard them as well, FDA and others will say, well, there's no evidence that these vaccines are associated with any kind of cancer type of problem, okay? And what I want to point out to you, and if you have a moment, I can pull it up, but about a year ago, actually, the CDC released under a Freedom of Information request, they released the results of what they call safety signal analysis. Okay, safety signal analysis means they're looking through the adverse event database in the United States. It's called VAERS, V-A-E-R-S. Anyone can go look at it online. And CDC was supposed to do a certain type of signal analysis, a mathematical calculation as to whether the amounts of reports of any given particular adverse event are more than normal, whatever that means, okay? And so it doesn't prove that the drug did it, but it's a signal that says, you know, you need to look at this more closely. So they released that signal analysis, as I say, about a year ago, and there were signals, meaning the mathematical number exceeded the magic number by a certain amount, for many, many different diagnoses, but included in those were about, I think, 10 or 12 or 15 cancer-related diagnoses, different types of cancers. So there was already a signal, and that data was performed, that analysis was performed July 2022. So there was already a signal that we know about in July 2022 that the CDC had, and they had done. So to say, for anyone to say there is no evidence for this, okay, is a complete lie. These are CDC's, the United States Centers for Disease Control. Let's make absolutely clear. It is a division, it's an agency of the United States government. Okay, let's be clear about that. The CDC's own signal analysis said there was a signal for cancer. Doesn't prove it, but it says there's a signal.
Correct.
Okay. To say there's no problem, there's no evidence, is a complete, you know, misrepresentation of the facts.
In the short time that we have left, Dr. Wiseman, I want to bring up this tweet from you that you said, gene therapy, Wilder discovers abnormal frame shift, and you've dubbed it Frankenstein, proteins elicited by COVID RNA vaccines. Can you explain that a little bit to us?
Okay, this is every bit as important as the DNA story, okay? So this was based on a paper that came out a few weeks ago in Nature, a very prominent journal. And the authors of the paper were, the first author was Mull Romy, and this was from the University of Cambridge in England and Oxford and other centers. Many of them were part of the British National Institute of Health Research Network, I guess you call it. And what they found was evidence that proteins other than the spike protein are being elicited by the Pfizer and presumably the Moderna vaccine in our bodies. So the Pfizer Moderna vaccines, their mechanism of action is that they have this genetic instruction, this mRNA or this modified RNA that goes into our body. Our body is supposed to look at it, read the code, read the instruction, and then produce the spike protein. And what these people found was that they were probably producing other proteins other than that. Okay, and they did that because of something called frame shifting, an error in how the code is being read. So basically, as the letters are being read one by one in the genetic code, one letter got skipped. And when, since one letter got skipped, it just shifted everything up one letter. And so all the words were the wrong words.
What are the implications of this?
What's that?
What are the implications of this?
The implication, well, what they showed is that the patients who had had 21 patients that had had the Pfizer vaccine actually produced an immune reaction in a test tube to proteins that they made that were similar to these frame shifted, these off, you know, skipped over proteins. And the people who had the AstraZeneca, which don't have the same issue with them, did not produce them. So what is the issues? Is that now your body is producing proteins that are uncharacterized, that are unintended, that produces an immune response of unknown consequence. The authors of the study in their press release said that these could produce potentially harmful effects. They said in the future. They didn't say in the past, but in the future. And they said, well, we can fix it in such and such a way. That's not acceptable. What you have here is an out of control regulatory and developmental process. You have a product that is being put into people's bodies that is producing an unknown, unintended, uncharacterized protein or series of proteins, which we call frameshift proteins, and I call them Frankenstein proteins. You can see the tweet and understand why. Okay. And with unknown toxicology. And I use the example there of the movie A Young Frankenstein to illustrate what frame shifting actually means. But this is to completely unacceptable. What manufacturing process of any product that you have on your shelf that you use on a daily basis, you know, you wouldn't read a jar of a food ingredient of jam or peanut butter, and it would say, by the way, there's some stuff here. We don't really know what this is. We don't really know what it does. We don't know how it affects your body, but it's in there, but we just don't know enough about it. But it's here anyway. Go take the peanut butter and everything will be all right. What field of commerce can you think of where that would be acceptable?
It isn't, Dr. Wiseman.
It's completely unacceptable.
And I think that you sound like, and many doctors that I know are echoing and have been echoing Joseph Lodapo's calls for some time. These products simply need to come off the market. We need to remove all mRNA products off the market and have honest doctors like yourself review this and really be the ones who are directing humanity in the future. Dr. Wiseman, we thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it. Encourage everyone to look at your Twitter and we hope to speak to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Thank you.
An absolutely staggering list of stories yet again this week. Much to keep an eye on, and I'm sure we'll be bringing you updates on most of these ongoing stories. We look forward to seeing you again next week on Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Make sure to follow Vigilant Fox on X, and you can find me at Z_media. That's Z with three E's on X also. Share this broadcast everywhere, repost it, send it along on your channels, and we look forward to next time. I'm Maria Z of ZMedia.com, and this has been Vigilant Fox's Media Blackout. Stay vigilant, stay informed. Good night.